Hello and welcome to today's readings of selections from the February-March issue of Audiophile magazine. On today's program, you'll hear an interview with poet and author Paulette Giles and a review of her celebrated debut novel, Enemy Women, an Earphones winner read by Reba Burr. We'll follow that with reviews in poetry, classics, and drama, including a review of Kwame Alexander's Light for the World to See, 1,000 words on race and hope. It's an Earphones winner read by the author. Let's get right to it. Here is a highlight, actually, of Paulette Giles highlighting her and some of her work. It's put together by Aurelia C. Scott. Poet and author Paulette Giles's celebrated debut novel, Enemy Women, newly released on audio, is a gripping and unexpectedly relevant exploration of the ravages of partisanship and conflict. It's set in 1864, when the southern Missouri Ozarks were overrun with Union and Confederate militias who fought guerrilla battles and wreaked havoc on civilians. Our protagonist is 18-year-old Adair Colley, whose avowedly neutral family is destroyed when a Union militia arrests her father, disperses her siblings, and sets fire to their mountain home. Adair is shipped to a St. Louis women's prison. That is just the beginning of her odyssey in this immersive story, which is rich in unforgettable characters and fascinating, often wrenching historical anecdotes. For this production, Los Angeles-based narrator Reba Burr sounds youthful, strong, sweet, and fierce, with a hint of mountain banjo twang. It's perfect for the indomitable Adair, who combines a toughness born of desperation with a lyricism reminiscent of Scheherazade. Other characters receive equal attention. We hear the weary gentlemanliness of the Union soldier who falls in love with her, the dangerous solicitude of a mother-daughter team of probable murderers, the nasal growl of a female tavern keeper. These and more sound as if they are daguerreotypes come to life. Burr reads the quotations from historical letters and newspapers that preface each chapter in a quick, clear voice that encourages our attention. Thus, we meet a soldier who wrote in 1864, October, "Dear wife and children, I take my pen in trembling hand to inform you that I have to be shot between 2 and 4 o'clock this evening. I have but few hours to remain in this unfriendly world. There are 6 of us sentenced to die in retaliation of 6 Union soldiers who were shot by Reeves's men." Giles was raised in Missouri, spent formative years in Toronto and Northern Ontario, and now lives in Texas. She was spurred to write Enemy Women while exploring her family's history in southeastern Missouri. Traversing the state's Ozark Mountains on horseback during her research, she came across the Civil War graveyards lost in forest undergrowth. None of the graves had regulation headstones. In an essay about the book, she commented, "It was the first time it occurred to me that there had been battles in my own home area, that men had fought here and killed one another, and the women had come to bury them under whatever lay at hand." Giles's newest novel, Simon the Fiddler, described as historical fiction of the highest order, received an Earphones Award-winning performance by Grover Gardner. Set in post-Civil War Texas, it's a rough-cut young hero, Simon, thrives against liars, grifters, and bullies to win freedom for an indentured immigrant girl. Gardner also delivers an excellent performance of News of the World, which has been made into a film starring Tom Hanks. That still gives you time to savor Gardner's narration of the memorable story of Captain Jefferson Kidd of Texas, who, in 1870, reads the news aloud for 10 cents a listener and takes an unusual trip with a white orphan girl rescued from her Kiowa captors. In a departure from Giles's historical novels, Lighthouse Island is set in a future time when city populations have exploded, nature is scarce, and water is rationed. Kevin T. Collins delivers an assured narration of the tale about a four-year-old Nadia, who longs to find plants in a place called Lighthouse Island, and the mapmaker with whom she takes a dangerous and sometimes comic journey. Giles is currently working on a sequel. And here's a review of Enemy Women by Paulette Giles. It's an Earphones winner, read by Reba Burr. As you know, Audiophile awards earphones to truly exceptional presentations that excel in all the following criteria: narrative voice and style, vocal characterizations, appropriateness for the audio format, and enhancement of the text. Here's the review of Enemy Women. Narrator Reba Burr imbues Paulette Giles' republished first novel, a vivid evocation of late Civil War Missouri, with nuanced characters and a tonal through note straight out of the Ozark Mountains. It's a memorable performance of a remarkable book. In 1864, Missouri was filled with warring Union and Confederate militias. In this confusion, we meet young Adair Colley, who is sent to a women's prison after Union militia burn down her mountain home and scatter her family. Adair remakes herself as a storyteller to survive prison, escape, and a dangerous journey homeward as an enemy woman. She is a character for all the ages, all grit, poetry, and perseverance. A Union major falls in love with her, and so do we. May they somehow survive and live forever. That review was written by Aurelia C. Scott. It was of Enemy Women by Paulette Giles, an Earphones winner, read by Reba Burr, and it's available from Harper Audio for 12 hours of unabridged listening. Okay, we're going to turn our attention now to poetry, classics, and drama reviews. And we start out with our first review today of Light for the World to See, 1,000 Words on Race and Hope, written and read by Kwame Alexander, and it is an Earphones winner. In this audiobook, Kwame Alexander delivers three of his poems about the struggles of Black Americans. He begins with a stirring foreword in which he remembers a time in November 1978 when his father, also a school principal, brought the entire student body out to protest the police killing of Arthur Miller in Brooklyn. Alexander recounts his fear of police violence and the power he felt through communal protest and song. His three wonderfully performed poems, American Bullet Points, Take a Knee, and The Undefeated, are a potent combination of elegy, protest, and celebration of Black triumph. Listeners should see the print edition for its striking visual elements, and listen to the audiobook for Alexander's incredibly powerful performance. Andy Northrup wrote that review of Light for the World to See, 1,000 Words on Race and Hope, written and read by Kwame Alexander, and it's an Earphones winner. Continuing in poetry, classics, and drama, we have The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien, an Earphones winner read by Andy Serkis. Narrator Andy Serkis, who many will recognize as the voice of Gollum from the Lord of the Rings movies, delivers a magnificent listening experience of the familiar classic. Serkis perfectly captures the nuances of each character, offering an engrossing performance of the story of a hobbit who is averse to adventure, journeying with 13 dwarves to reclaim their treasure from a deadly dragon. Circus adopts a wide range of vocal skill, capturing Bilbo's careful reluctance, dropping to a whisper as the hobbit sneaks about, and emulating Smaug's commanding growl as the dragon seeks the dwarves that would dare invade his lair. Circus' remarkable singing voice is loaded with appeal. Both new listeners and old ought not to miss this audiobook. Alex Ritchie wrote that review of The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien. It's an Earphones winner read by Andy Serkis. It's also a 2020 Best Audiobook pick from Audiophile magazine. And it's available from Recorded Books for 10.5 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have Make Me Rain, Poems and Prose, written and read by Nikki Giovanni, and it's an Earphones winner. Nikki Giovanni's slightly raspy, slightly sibilant voice draws listeners into this important collection of poetry and prose. Letting her poet's sense guide her tempo, Giovanni wrings the humor, anger, and sorrow out of being Black in America. In And So It Comes to This, Giovanni's mocking tone is a perfect match for a scathing indictment of white men and their obsession with a false supremacy. Her palpable anger recalls the death of Michael Brown in Ferguson the Musical, and her heart seems to be breaking as she describes the brother getting up in the dark to drive to the Million Man March. Warm tones express themes of quilts and songs and love. As Giovanni tells us, all is transition, and love is forever. Sarah Grimm wrote that review of Make Me Rain, Poems and Prose by Nikki Giovanni, read by the author, and it's an Earphones winner, available from Harper Audio for 1.75 hours of unabridged listening. And this is just a reminder that you are listening to the brand new February-March issue of Audiophile magazine. It's the magazine that wants you to discover the world of audiobooks. Continuing now with our reviews in poetry, classics, and drama, we have On the Way Out, Turn Off the Light, written and read by Marge Piercy. Those who claim modern poetry is inaccessible are not reading or listening to Marge Piercy. Her poetry is not shallow, but it is clear and, at least on one level, easy to follow. Her readings, likewise, are strong and inviting. Piercy's diction is not always perfect, but like the poetry, it is always authentically hers, and the slight flaws never get in the way of understanding. Her varied themes include roles, gender roles, Jewishness, womanhood, age, and mortality, all of which she approaches with a matter-of-factness that is one of the gifts of long and considered experience. Piercy shares her life with admirable honesty. David Harris wrote that review of On the Way Out, Turn Off the Light. Written and read by Marge Piercy, it's available from Random House Audio for 2.5 hours, unabridged. Our next review is Ode, and that's spelled O-W-E-D. It's written and read by Joshua Bennett. The classic African praise song is thematically related to the classical ode, and award-winning poet Joshua Bennett, here reading his own work, conflates them into a series of odes, O-W-E-D-S. By birth and education, he has an honest claim to both traditions, and he deploys his considerable skill as a poet to honor objects, ankle weights, your father's gold chain, and concepts, pedagogy, that shaped him. Not every poem takes that form, but all explore how he became the accomplished, multicultural person he is. His readings are clear and evocative, never concealing their deeply personal origins, but also never falling into self-pity or mawkishness. Bennett acknowledges his debts, giving and taking credit as appropriate. David Harris wrote that review of Ode by Joshua Bennett, read by the author. It's available from Penguin Audio for 1.25 hours, unabridged. Next, we have Finna, Poems, written and read by Nate Marshall. A number of influences make themselves heard in Nate Marshall's readings of his own poems. He uses a variety of voices, ranging from that of a Southside Chicago homie to that of an elite university graduate. They are all his own authentic voices, and he explores the variety of his own existence with them, as well as those of the alternate Nate Marshalls who come up in an online search. One of those is a white supremacist, and Marshall explores his relationship with this other self in a series of origin story poems that investigate the ideas of race in America. He is a young poet worth getting to know. Finna, as he explains, is a variation of the phrase fixing to, a particular future tense. David Harris wrote that review of Finna, Poems, written and read by Nate Marshall. It's available from Random House Audio for 1.5 hours, unabridged. Continuing now with poetry and the classics, we have My Antonia by Willa Cather, an Earphones winner, read by Robert G. Slade. Robert G. Slade narrates this classic with warmth and wit. He delivers the voices of Bohemians, Norwegians, and Russian immigrants with subtlety and captures the cadences of young and old. His storytelling manner gives a sense of reality to this immigrant story about foreign families settling in Nebraska, where their new lives require hard work and they sometimes receive a cool reception. Antonia is one of America's literature's most striking heroines, strong, independent, spirited, and motherly. She survives and prevails. Seen through the admiring eyes of narrator Jim Burden, her story, his, and those of the other main characters are delivered with fine shading by Slade. Aside from a prejudiced portrait of a mulatto pianist, this peon to 19th century prairie life remains fresh and worthy of one's time. Alan Menskoff wrote that review of My Antonia by Willa Cather, an Earphones winner, read by Robert G. Slade. It's available from Naxos Audiobooks for 9.25 hours, unabridged. Next, we have Uncle Tom's Children by Richard Wright, an Earphones winner, read by Adam Lazar White. In 1938, Richard Wright exposed the strange and coded universe of Jim Crow racism to the entire world with a hard-hitting essay and five remarkable and devastating short stories. Exhibiting a deft ear and a sense of righteous humanity, narrator Adam Lazar White finds the distinct voice of each character in this seminal collection. Portrayals include the youthful exuberance and fear of Big Boy and Bobo in Big Boy Leaves Home, the tired desperation of man as he tries to save his family in Down by the Riverside, and the angry white vigilantes who beat and whip a preacher in Fire and Cloud. Realistic, visceral, violent, and honest, these are stories that mattered and still matter today, and Lazar White reads them that way. Brian Price wrote that review of Uncle Tom's Children. It's written by Richard Wright, read by Adam Lazar White, and it's an Earphones winner. It's available from Harper Audio for 10 hours of unabridged listening. Next we have, in poetry, classics, and drama, The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde by Robert Louis Stevenson, read by Tim Campbell. This is one of those familiar tales that we all believe we know, but may never have heard all the way through. Luckily, award-winning narrator Tim Campbell comes to the rescue with a well-voiced, straightforward reading of Stevenson's classic horror story. Campbell's ease with British accents is on display as he gives voice to Mr. Utterson, the lawyer who investigates this peculiar story of two completely different men who seem to live at the same address. One is Mr. Hyde, who is seen committing horrible crimes. The other, of course, is the elusive and morally depraved Dr. Jekyll, who develops a serum that literally splits his personality and body in half. The audiobook makes for perfect-sounding penny dreadful. Brian Price wrote that review of Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde by Robert Louis Stevenson. It's read by Tim Campbell, and it's available from Spoken Realms for 2.5 hours of unabridged listening. Next today we have Dearly, new poems written and read by Margaret Atwood, and it's an Earphones winner. Margaret Atwood is best known as a novelist, of course, but she is also quite a fine poet, and her reading of her poems is also quite fine. The poems focus largely on nature and the nature of being a woman in the modern world. But these potentially fraught subjects do not tempt Atwood in writing or reading into stridency. Her performance throughout the collection is low-key, although there is no mistaking her intentions and her passions. Just as good poetry rewards multiple readings, and this is good poetry. Good readings of poetry deserve and reward multiple listenings. This is that kind of poetry and that kind of reading. David Harris wrote that review of Dearly, new poems written and read by Margaret Atwood, and it's an Earphones winner. It's available from Harper Audio for 1.75 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have Martin Eden by Jack London. It's an Earphones winner read by Eduardo Ballerini. When you blend a master of lyrical language with an outstanding narrator, the result is an unforgettable listening experience. First published in 1909, the semi-autobiographical story offers a psychological study of Martin, a working-class sailor whose intense love for a member of the upper class, Ruth, spurs him to educate himself so that he might be worthy of her. However, when he does become a famous writer and noted scholar, he can no longer connect with his working-class roots, and he doesn't really belong to the society he longed to join. Ruth abandons him, and he falls into despair. Eduardo Ballerini's tenor is just right for Martin's sensitive, poetic observations and artful descriptions. He ensures that London's reality is our reality, making this classic a choice listening experience. That review by yours truly, Sandy Henschel, is of Martin Eden by Jack London. It's read by Eduardo Ballerini, and it's available from Silo Studios for 14 hours of unabridged listening. Continuing in poetry, classics, and drama, our next review is The Tale of a Nigun. It's written by Elie Wiesel, and Elijah Wiesel does the introduction. It's read by John Rubinstein with Elijah Wiesel. This audiobook by Holocaust survivor Elie Wiesel may not be wonderful poetry, but it is a wonderful story that goes to the core of Jewish moral identity. When the enemy decrees that the Jewish community must provide 10 people to be hanged or else the entire community will be wiped out, the rabbi must figure out what to do. Narrator John Rubinstein provides subtle voices for the rabbi, his people, and the great sages whom he consults. He deftly conveys the rabbi's frustrations, sorrows, and joys in his search for a solution to the community's terrible problem. There is no traditional happy ending here, but there is a triumph of sorts. The text includes a glossary of Jewish thought and thinkers at the end, and some may want to listen to the end first. David Harris wrote that review of The Tale of a Nigun by Elie Wiesel, an introduction by Elijah Wiesel, read by John Rubinstein. It's available from Random House Audio for 46 minutes, unabridged. Next, we have The Manchurian Candidate by Richard Condon, an adaptation read by Kelsey Grammer and a full cast. In this LA Theater Works update of the Cold War classic, Emmy Award winner Kelsey Grammer gives a natural and nuanced performance. A prodigal son and prisoner of war returns home from the 1991 Gulf War to find his friends treating him like a stranger and his overbearing mother maneuvering his stepfather into a run for the U.S. presidency. As his headaches and dreams get worse, listeners begin to wonder if he could have been brainwashed and programmed to be an assassin. The Manchurian Candidate stands as a unique mix of cloak-and-dagger thriller and biting political satire. It sounds just as frighteningly relevant today as it did when this full-cast production was recorded before a live audience in Chicago in March 1996. Brian Price wrote that review of The Manchurian Candidate by Richard Condon. It's an adaptation read by Kelsey Grammer and a full cast, and it's available from LA Theater Works for 1.75 hours of unabridged listening. That's our show for today, but I hope you'll plan to tune in next time when you'll hear our editor's picks of the most intriguing audiobook releases for February and March. Then we'll have some reviews in mystery and suspense, including a review of Anthony Horowitz's latest, Moonflower Murders, Magpie Murders, Book 2, read by Leslie Manville and Alan Corduna. So until next time, thanks for listening.